Hello, Dr. Mindy Shaw here with my fifth podcast in my series entitled Teaching Humanity Remotely. As I promised, today I will be addressing questions I have received from some of you. Before I speak to your questions, I want to remind you that you can email me your questions, concerns, ideas, input, and even suggestions for future books in my book series addressing life lessons, feelings, and life events to learnwithmeremotely at gmail.com. I want you to know that I did receive two suggestions already from the audience. One was on bullying, to be more specific about a book really just called Bullying, and another was sharing. So I am in the process of incorporating those two new books into my book list. So I am really appreciating your input, and I am responding accordingly and with so much appreciation and dedication. All right, so the first question comes from Linda in Long Island, and she asked the following question. Dr. Shaw, given the fact that you seem to be saying honesty is the best policy, while also stating the importance of consistency with children, what should I do when I see I'm making a mistake in how I am handling a situation? For example, when I am rushed at dinner time and I start screaming because I can't wait for my child to make the choice of should they have hot dogs or hamburgers. So, you know, I have to say, Linda from Long Island, Mindy from New Paltz had the similar situation so many times, a working mom really in a hurry. I'd ask a question, if the kids didn't answer, you know, soon enough, I would just have to make the decision, then they didn't want it, so on and so forth. So I really appreciate your honesty in asking that question, because I am sure that if every parent is being honest, they've had those moments. So I think the answer is really in the question. And so when you notice in the moment that you're not behaving in the way you want to behave, what I suggest is you stop, you breathe, you compose yourself, and you apologize, and you change your behavior. And then you actually use that moment to not only do all those great things, but also be very clear in, look what I'm doing. I made a mistake, and I'm owning it, and I'm pointing it out to you so that when you make a mistake, you know, you can do the same thing. I made a mistake, and I would just explain it very specifically. I would say the truth. I would say, for example, I was just screaming because I felt rushed. You didn't answer soon enough, and I feel like we have a little time, and I was rushing you, and I'm really sorry, and I'm not going to do that again. So, you know, we're human. I think it's really important that we show our children that we're human and that we make mistakes, and that when we make mistakes, we own our mistakes, which is really critical, and we change our behavior, and then we tell them that. So there's no guesswork. There's no guesswork about how you want your child to behave. And so if you want your child to learn that if they make a mistake, you want them to tell the truth, and you want them to own it, and you want them to be able to change their behavior, if you show them how to do all those things, they're going to be learning all of those positive skills from you. It's not as if you don't make mistakes. We do make mistakes as parents. And then marking it and noting it and bringing attention to it, then that mistake actually becomes a learning lesson, which is why I think all mistakes are just learning lessons. They're mistakes. So you get to take them again. That's what they do when you're making a movie. Take one, take two, take three. Take as many takes as you need to get it right. It's not as if human beings aren't going to make mistakes, but it is as if human beings are going to learn from their mistakes. And when we make a mistake in front of our children, we own it, we talk about it, we do everything we want them to do so that they have the skills and strategies to know how to behave when they make a mistake, to make it right. So I hope that answered your question, and I really appreciate that you asked it. Our next question comes from Gail in Gardner, Maine. She asks, how many times do you need to say the same thing over and over and over again in order for your child to really get it and have the material sink in? Gail, I just love that question. Again, I'm sure every parent has had that, you know, wondered that same question. So I actually wanted to answer with precision in a professional way, and I'll tell you what, I looked that up. So studies show it takes 30 times a repetition for something to sink in into memory. And there's a new term for this repetition. It's called mega drilling. Mega drilling. It's interesting. It's why I guess teachers want children to very quickly know their multiplication table, or why when I was a student, it always helped me to write my answers on little index cards. In the writing, it sort of like sunk in. What I think is really amazing about this, how we learn and how much repetition we need, is sometimes I'll have a learning lesson, you know, new learning that will happen. I'll have a learning lesson and it will be so exciting to me. I can't think of it now. I can't think of a time like, you know, when this happened, but it would be like, wow, like just the cat's meow. I'm so excited that I had this learning lesson and I feel like I'll never forget this. You know, with this one, I'm really going to get and it's going to stay with me forever. And lo and behold, like 6 months later, I'll have the same learning lesson and I'll forget that I had that one already. And it'll be like, wow, that's fantastic. And then I'll, within a few days, remember, oh, I've already learned that before and I forgot it. So I think it may take 30 times of repetition. But then I think what I noticed when I was teaching, and I noticed this in my own learning, is let's say I wanted to teach. This would happen like in math. You know, there'd be like minute math in the morning and I would teach, let's say, something like tallying. So, you know, you tally by writing, you know, a line, one line, two lines, three lines, four lines. When you get to the fifth line, you bundle it up. Then you do six is another line, then seven's a line, eight is a line, nine is a line, and then 10 is another bundle. So it's really helping to count by fives. What's interesting about that is that after a few days of doing that, every single child got it in the class. But if I stopped doing it for a month and then I went back to it, maybe only three or four children would get that. So I think that it's true that you might need 30 times to have something sink in and retain it into memory. But I also think that you have to continue every once in a while to have that learning resurface so that it is in both long-term and short-term memory. That's just my experience. This is interesting that I'm actually bringing up math examples. So in math, in first grade, we would do number families. So they are numbers that are related. So let's say 3, 4, and 7 are related. 3 plus 4 is 7. 4 plus 3 is 7. 7 minus 3 is 4. 7 minus 4 is 3. They are related. Again, I would do that every day for a few days. It might be close to 30 times. And then I wouldn't do it for a month. And then when I would introduce it again, it would be new learning for a lot of children. So I believe to really know that it sinks in is that maybe it's 30 times of repetition within a short period and then bringing it up again. So like, let's say you have a child who has a hard time expressing anger. And let's say you review, you know, my book on anger, which really is a nice book because it comes with a lot of strategies. And so let's say your child's angry when it's time to go to bed. They don't like to brush their teeth. They don't want to go to bed. They want another story. Let's say it's something like that. That's kind of a routine for your child. And then you say, well, what's a strategy that we can use to get rid of our anger? Oh, we could put all our anger down the sink. Okay, so after you brush your teeth, you know, let the water run a second, put down your anger down the sink. That could work, right? So you may have to do that with a lot of repetition. Then your child may, for the next 5 days, not, let's say, have anger. Maybe they're relaxed and they're feeling good. When it happens again and they feel angry at something, you need to go right back and say, oh, you have a strategy for this. If they're looking at you like they don't know what you're talking about, then I think what you need to do is you need to share that task. If you always tell them the strategy, they're not owning it. And that's another way for them not to take responsibility. So if you say, well, do you remember the books that we read, Dr. Shaw's books? Oh, okay. Yeah, I could punch my pillow. Right, you could punch your pillow if you're angry. So you're, remember, you're allowed to be angry, but you're not allowed to be mean to me. it's not my fault that it's 8 o'clock and it's bedtime. That's our agreement. It's bedtime. And then, you know, so you help them remember the strategy, work it through a little bit. And what you really want to see, if the learning is really their own, is that they're owning the learning. They know what to do. They see that they're angry. They know to punch the pillow, put it down the sink, put it in a pot, like a cooking pot, and just stir it all up. Like, they'll know it. So, you know, you help them first by giving them the strategy. Then you share the strategy. You share the task. Oh, I see that you're really angry now. What can you do? If the child's not responding and still being really angry, you can help them a little bit more. Oh, you remember the books we read? Oh, okay. You know, so you share as much as you need until when the child's angry, the child can say, I know what to do. I can do this. That's when the child really has that learning. And that's, you know, an illustration about repetition. So I guess when a child's asking a question like, why do I have to go to bed at 8 o'clock? We've been through this before. You know why we have to go to bed at 8 o'clock, right? Let's say that you have been through that before. So instead of just indulging in that answer that you really feel your child knows, it's just a way for your child to stay up, it's kind of manipulative, you say to the child, why do we need to go to bed at 8 o'clock? If your child does something at bedtime, let's say every night, that you feel is manipulative and keeping your child up later than 8 o'clock and you really have things to do, start that conversation at 7:30. Start that conversation so you know you can be calm, you can be clear, you can be consistent, you can have follow through, and your child can own their learning. That's what's so important. So, you know, raising children, being with children, all children are different anyway. So there's a learning curve both for the child and absolutely for the adult. So I hope that answered your question. But yes, the new term, I thought it was interesting, called mega drilling. It's really just rapid reinforcement of drilling the way we used to do that in school with our multiplication facts and things like that. And the last question I have today is Sharon from Syracuse asks the following question. How do you teach your three-year-old child to share? And Sharon, thank you so much for this question. And as I said earlier, another mom asked me this question and asked if I could write a book on sharing. So I just finished writing a new book called Sharing, and I'm hoping that it will be on Amazon at the latter part of this week, maybe Thursday or Friday. So please look for that, Sharing. Anyway, the following is how to teach your young child how to share. First of all, I think you need to point out good sharing when others are doing it. For example, let's say you're at the dinner table and you say to a person at the table, Johnny, can you please pass the mashed potatoes? When Johnny passes the mashed potatoes, then you can say, thank you, Johnny, for passing the mashed potatoes as well as sharing the potatoes with me. So you're really marking that. So here's what I think is really important. Adults are truly responsible for socializing children's attention. Let me say that again. Adults are really responsible for socializing children's attention. If you want to teach your child how to share, you need to point out good sharing when it's happening. That makes sense, right? Your child may not know what sharing is, right? They're two, they're three, they're very young. So they don't know what it is. So you're going to point it out. You're socializing their attention. We are what we pay attention to. Adults are constantly helping children to pay attention to what we want them to pay attention to, right? We're responsible. This is really, really important. It's our job as adults to be responsible to children. And one way we are responsible is by guiding them on what they should be paying attention to. So if you want to teach your child how to share, you're going to point out good sharing. Next thing you're going to do is when your child is sharing and taking turns, you are going to give the child very specific positive attention and praise. So the praise has to be specific. You can't say, wow, that was really great. Your child's 3 years old. What part of that moment was great? Was it when they were picking their nose? No, right? Was it when they knocked down their sister's toys? No. It was in the actual sharing. So you're going to be very specific in your praise, and you're going to say something like this: Olivia, when you shared the toy with your baby sister, that behavior was great. Sharing and taking turns allows you to have more fun when you're playing together. Do you agree? Let's talk about it. When you were playing today, what was the best part of your playing? Was it when you were grabbing toys and not playing together, or was it when you were sharing toys and playing together? So you can really talk about it, mark it, and then have the child reflect. The more the child could own their own learning, the less you're going to have to be teaching, because you're going to know that they know it. So another way to do this is play games with your child that involve sharing and taking turns, and shout the behaviors. Look, Johnny, we're playing so nicely together. Do you see? First you threw the dice, and then I threw the dice. That's taking turns. And we're sharing. What are we sharing? And then your child could say, we're sharing the dice. Exactly. And then after it's all done, talk to your child about sharing. Talk to your child about sharing before you play together. You might say, you know, today we're going to play a game together, and in this game, we're going to need to share. These are the things we're going to share. We're going to share the cards. We're going to share the dice. Another thing we're going to do when we play this game is we're going to be taking turns. You want to go first? Okay, you can go first. Sometimes when you play with somebody, the other person's going to want to go first. It doesn't really matter who goes first, because everyone's going to get a turn. So you can just be talking about that. And you know, the older your child gets, the more sophisticated they're going to become, the more mature they're going to become. When you start sharing at a young age like this, when you start talking, you're really helping your child not only gain language skills, which obviously are very important, because a lot of frustration happens when children are not able to express themselves appropriately through using appropriate language. So certainly gaining language skills helps. But you're also, again, this is, I think, the most important piece for me of this podcast, is the socializing the attention. The adult in charge really is saying, I want you to pay attention to this. When you want your child to use nice manners, I'm going to point out nice manners, saying please, saying thank you, saying you're welcome, saying excuse me. I'm going to point it out, and then I'm going to explain. This is when you use that term. And then when the child does it, I'm going to shout it out and celebrate that the child did it and that the child knows why the child's doing that. So in the beginning, even when I was a teacher, like in the beginning, I want them to learn something, and there might be some talk about it. Like, let's say I want them to write the word mom. Say the word mom. Say it slowly. What are the sounds you hear? What's the first sound? Do you know how to write that? You know what that letter is? Yeah, that letter is M. Do you know how to write it? No, I don't know how to write it. Would you like me to write it for you? So you're sharing the task, you know? So it's the exact same thing. In the beginning, when your child doesn't know a lot, the talk is coming from you. Now, it's very important not to overtalk, because you want to be sharing the task. And if you're doing it all, then it's hard to know if the child's really learning. But even in the beginning, where there is more talk on your side, because you have the words and you have the skills and you're the teacher, you're still allowing opportunities and invitation for the child to do what the child can. And by you modeling, this is what sharing is, then when they share, you can even say, when we played today, when did you share? I shared when I gave you the dice when I was done, Mommy. Exactly. So I think it's about feeling comfortable with modeling the behaviors that you want your child to attain. I think it's about feeling comfortable when you make a mistake, owning that mistake, and then modeling, what does a grown-up do when they make a mistake? Do they own it? How do they own it? They say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been screaming. This is why I did it. There's really no reason. There's no good reason, even though I did do it. I'm going to change my behavior. What would you like for dinner? So you're showing them and you're marking it all along. So then when they're screaming, you could say, the other day, I was screaming, what did I do? Mommy, you changed your behavior. You're giving them the words. You're letting them know it. I'm sorry, I changed my behavior. So I think it's all about being very deliberate. And when we make a mistake, owning it, and then having that become the next teachable moment where you want your children not to not make mistakes, but to learn from their mistake and take it again. Do a do-over. And so, again, what I think is the most important about the podcast, which sort of came up almost incidentally, and I sort of see it as, you know, the greatest gift of the conversation, is really about we are what we pay attention to. If you want your child to learn something, you're going to socialize their attention to notice that so that they learn it. Some of the ways in which grown-ups behave, we don't want our children to be focusing on. And if we don't own that, then they're going to learn it incidentally, which we're not going to want. So it's important for us to be as attentive and intentional as we can. You know, sort of being with children, the gift of being with children is that we get to be more present, more conscious, more attentive, more intentional. That's the gift. That's the gift for grown-ups. That's why they love children. We want to be present. And children want to be present too. So I just think being open, honest, marking things, knowing that you are your child's first teacher and that it is your responsibility to socialize your child's attention to what they want to pay attention to, since we are what we pay attention to. So for my next podcast, what I was thinking I would do is I would read one of my stories. The thing is, I don't know how that's going to go because I don't know if the people who are listening to the podcast really want what I'm saying from adult to adult, or if in fact I would read one of the stories, your children may really enjoy it. So I was thinking I'll just try it. So on my sixth podcast, what I am thinking about doing is I would just ask your children to attend and listen to the podcast the way some of us adults are now listening to stories on tape. And we'll see how that goes. I want each podcast to be a little different. I don't feel like I'm a know-it-all. I feel like I am wanting to be of service and be contributing. And educating young children is a gift for me. I feel really blessed that I was able to do it for so many years. And this is my way of trying to be contributing during a time where there's so much remote learning. And I do want to ease parents' and teachers' burdens. And I want us to remember the joy in being with children. And we can have that joy when we're not so stressed out. And this is my little contribution. And I hope that it's helping. Again, if you have questions, please, please, please email me your questions at learnwithmeremotely@gmail.com, and I will answer them. You can also go to my website, which is learnwithmeremotely.com, and there is a place there where you can also write your questions to me, and I will answer them. Until next time, and again, next time I'll be reading a story to your children, and I hope that they'll enjoy it and come to the podcast in their comfy pajamas and a comfortable pillow and a stuffed animal. And I hope that will be a pleasant, relaxing time for them and also for you. And I hope that all you parents and educators out there are getting what you need to sustain your great efforts at this time and feeling some good, healthy love. Until next time, see you soon.